This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And with that, we bring in the phenomenal. He, I think, hits a draw into every hole. Nate Bauer.
It's pretty accurate. I think it's a draw most of the time. What's going on?
Well, it's funny because Jack Ham and I were playing Sonny Hanna earlier this week. You'll love this story. I don't know. This is one of those. I had a good drive. So I'm about maybe 152 out, I think they said. So I took a 9-iron. And Jack says to me, you know, it's his, you know, he's a member. He says the key is hit it to the right side, and he says he'll go down to the green. Well, I'm left-handed, okay? And I hit a draw. So I take it, and I go left to right, comes down, right? And it, I don't know, I'm 2 feet from the hole. Right?
There you go.
And he looks at me, he says, well, that's another way to do it.
Where is my invitation to Sonny Hanna with Steve Jones and Jack Ham? I'm wondering. What are we doing here?
I will take you down if you want to go. Absolutely.
You know, done. I'm in.
You know what's great when you go in there? I know we'll get to the issues in a moment. But when you walk into the clubhouse, they have pictures of all the great champions. You know, Tiger Woods, what year he competed there. And, of course, it's the picture of when they competed. So it's like when I talk about Tiger Woods, like a young Tiger Woods, a young Phil Mickelson. Colin Morikawa won the tournament in 2016. Scottie Scheffler played in it. Ricky Fowler won it twice. You know, just going there you'd love, because those are all the people that have won there. So.
Have not made it. It has been on my list, and I hate to invite myself, but feel like I'm doing that right now.
Sometimes you have to do things. I'm a big proponent. I always have been of like, okay, you look out there and who's there, and you work with who's there. But part of reporting is, and your job is to report who's not there.
Yep,
and. That has been the story this week about who's not there. And I'm sure, you know, let's face it, it'll be the first question that's asked to James Franklin, but there's probably absolutely nothing he can say about it, right?
That's correct. The statement that they left, obviously, we're talking about Jameel Lyons, defensive end, and Kavion Keys, the linebacker, who are under, I believe the term is interim suspension, and to deal with a personal issue, right? That's the official terminology. That's the statement from Penn State. And the second half of that statement is Penn State, like, there will be no further comment. It will have to be asked. Franklin will not give any more than that, to be honest with you. There's nothing more to say, right? The situation that they are entangled in is one that they are going to have to deal with as individuals, and until it's resolved in one direction or another, it's purgatory, right? It's status quo. This is just the state of limbo, and I think that broadly speaking, Penn State, as you need to do in situations like this, and even in injury situations where you don't have a timeline on an expected return, you just have to proceed, right? You have to proceed as though your backup plan is the new plan.
And so let's go with defensive end. And Zariah Fisher, of course, not ready yet, in combination now with Lyons. So what makes that spot interesting? Because, I mean, you can think of four guys right away that have played that, that will fill it. But to me, it, the key is finding that fifth guy.
Yes, 100%. I think that, you know, certainly just to tick off the names, obviously, Denai Dennis Sutton will return as a starter. Abdul Carter is obviously, you know, going to be paired with him as, you know, those will be the two starters there. Backing them up, you've got Amin Vanover, who has a ton of experience and is good. He's a good, mm-hmm. he's a good player.
Sure is.
So I think, I'm sorry, what was that?
I said he sure is. I mean, he is not a star, but he wins games for you.
100%. And then the fourth, right, is I think going to be Smith Vilbert,
yep.
who is similarly in that vein of not talked about because out of sight, out of mind. I mean, he hasn't played in 2 years, so it's been it's not somebody who's been on the tip of tongues for Penn State fans in a couple of years. He obviously had that Outback Bowl stat performance that really wasn't necessarily indicative of where he was in terms of his trajectory and his talent at that time. But, you know, internally, the sentiment for him over the past, what, Steve? I mean, you know, we talked to Penn State people 6 months, 8 months,
yeah.
has been very enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a situation of panic by any means, but certainly the pressure is more on those two guys, Mean and Smith, to hit, right?
Yeah.
to be capable, reliable, mm-hmm. productive backups to their starters there at end.
Which then brings us to Keys. And Tom Allen, as we know, sometimes plays three, but a lot of times yep. plays two. Keys would have lined up with the third group in all likelihood, but you'd still love the luxury of having him. Because of how Tom plays, does that in some way lessen the impact of not having him there?
Yes, I think so. I just think it puts you in a spot where the pressures of figuring out what to do with Abdul come more into focus.
And can I have right? one? Can I have one more part to that though? Keon Wiley would have been a part of that mix as well, and he's not quite ready yet either. And that does complicate it a bit.
100%. You've lost. You know, Abdul moving out of the room in the first place had its own implications. Mm-hmm. Right? That was something where, okay, Tom Allen's bringing this system in that's probably going to rely more on two linebackers instead of three. You've got Jalen Reed more or less filling a linebacker-esque role mm-hmm. this season. But, okay, Abdul's out of the room. It's good that you have flexibility for him, that he can moonlight for you and do different things based on what the opponent calls for. But Keon Wiley's injury, yeah, that already stung. Throw Kavion Keys being in limbo right now. And it is certainly more tenuous than it had been again 8 months ago, 7 months ago.
All right. Anything that you're looking for out of media day, or is it just something where you just kind of let it come to you and then you figure out what to do with it when it's done?
Yeah, good question. I mean, you know me. I mostly let things come to me. I think that stories kind of present themselves mm-hmm. sometimes. And the Penn State football does a very good job of training its coaches and players to respond to the questions that are asked of them. And so if you ask about specific players, they will respond about specific players. If you ask more open-ended questions, right, that allow for some thought and consideration, mm-hmm. you'll get some of that. And so I think going into it with a mindset of, hey, I got to find out about Drew Aller as a leader, right, for instance, as a storyline. Mm-hmm. If you do that, and have that in your mindset, you're going to preclude yourself from learning about some of the other guys that have taken on broader leadership roles this offseason, right? Or who might be buzzing. I mean, you name it. There's plenty of different narratives out there and storylines that I think everybody's watching, right? What's the vibe this year? Is this a Joe Moorhead fun offense that everyone's rallying around, or are they under the pressure cooker? Right, you name it. There's lots out there of interest, but if you target in on it as a journalist and come into it with the mindset that I'm gonna get responses to specific narratives that I'm trying to write about, I think it shields you and precludes you from learning some of the more interesting things that are out there.
You, of course, part of the job is you do have to communicate on your message board on On3.com and Blue White Illustrated, and you communicate on it all the time. Do you ever ask questions of players or coaches based on something on a message board that you read?
Absolutely. In my mind, I am filling a role that serves as a conduit between the program and the fans that are consuming it. And so it really doesn't matter what my interests are. What are the interests of the fans? What do fans want to know? And so there have been things that come across. And look, like I have my own pool of information to deal with, right? That helps me and informs me in terms of what I'm seeking out. But if the message board community is, clamoring for information on who the fourth or fifth safety will be, yeah, get that. Right. get that information. Try to find out what they're thinking, where their heads are at, and go from there.
How do you want to approach the wide receiver part? Do you just want to talk to them, talk to Marcus? Do you want to talk to the two quarterbacks? I mean, what usually gives you the best indicator of what they think of the receivers?
Yeah, I'll be honest. And I think that we've touched on this before, but I think that James Franklin is a great barometer. I do. I think that he provides an honest assessment more often than not in his public comments about where a group is. And so Marcus Haggins this summer, Andy Kolomnicki this summer, and Drew Aller this summer, right? I have conversations with all three of them through the course of the summer. We're all highly complimentary of the progress made in that room. And, Marcus Haggins talking about backs against the wall and, proving people wrong, and Andy Kolomnicki talking about, they're going to surprise people. Okay, all of those things, all of those statements are a good indicator of where Penn State is coming from, but it's not a good indicator of where Penn State is. And so to me, when I listen to James Franklin talk about it, it is provided or contextualized in terms of, hey, they have done enough or haven't done enough to beat the teams that they're trying to beat. His post-blue-white game comments, I thought were remarkably telling.
Yeah.
Because it's not a problem of the receivers being miserable or horrible. They're not a bad group. They are fine to win 10 games, right? Like, they are. Right. There's plenty of talent in that room. There's plenty of ability. And some of those guys that will elevate this year, Caden Saunders, Omari Evans, Liam Clifford, those guys who are elevating will be just fine. That's not the conversation. The conversation and the question at hand based on where this Penn State football program is can they beat Ohio State? Can they beat Southern Cal? Can they beat Wisconsin? And, we're going to find that out through the course of the season, but it's, to me, that is the angle, that is the side of this that doesn't really have an answer, and I'm not sure we're going to have an answer until those games actually happen, But it's going to be interesting to see tomorrow where they are on that timeline.
Yeah, I'll quickly say about James Franklin. When I hear him do a presser, post-game, middle of the week, whatever, and you know I'm there. So, believe me, he gives pretty good, straight, direct answers as to what is going on and what he's thinking. He really does. So anybody who thinks it's a sandbag job or anything like that, don't be naive, okay? I mean, it's adorable to be the smart guy at the tailgate, and I'd like to point out over here you might not be.
I'm giving away the game here, Steve, but your Thursday night coaches show interview is, to me, one of the most fruitful things that he does, because he always provides you honest answers. He's more candid. Sure, there are things that he can't talk about or that he won't talk about. And he has a predilection for avoiding a negative slant on things, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But he will provide insights and give a fairly accurate assessment of where things stand within his football program. And I value that greatly. I write off your Thursday night all the time.
Well, somebody else who does that is Mike Rhodes, as you know. And they've had some media availabilities as the basketball team gets down to the last, like, 5-6 days of their summer workout schedule. What have you picked up from him about them to this point?
Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily things he has said that have been as impactful as the things you can see.
Yeah.
Right? When you're there at practice, mm-hmm. and the things that you can see are that this is a dramatically longer team than what they played with last year. The influx of players, that they bright 8 new faces in the program, 4 transfers, 4 incoming freshmen, they're all 6'5 or taller, mm-hmm. right? I think there's one exception to that. But overwhelmingly, these guys are big. Talking about it yesterday, Freddie DeLeon, who can rebound the basketball, right? Provide you a rebounding body at the guard position, right? And not Jalen Pickett style, right?
Mm-hmm. right.
He can provide you that as a 6'5 guard, and then doesn't have to kick it out to put the ball back up the floor. He can push it himself. It changes what they're able to do. It changes the press to have 6'7", 6'8" wings. It changes the press to have a 7-footer, 7'1" guy in Yannick on the back end of that press. I think they were very purposeful in what they did in the transfer portal, and certainly what they did on the recruiting side of things, including, you know, whether people realize this or not, they could have kept recruiting class of 2024 guys, right? They knew what the numbers were going to be. They understood what the transfer situation was going to be.
Yep.
They said, no, the class can't be bigger than the 4 that they were bringing in, because they needed ready-to-play bodies. They needed ready-to-play guys through the transfer portal that they could count on providing an impact right away. And honestly, across the board, they have that. all 4 of those guys that they brought in from the transfer market are going to play this season.
But they will, and not only that, it helps that guys that return. I mean, Ace has been, to be honest with you, Ace has been terrific this summer. Puff Johnson's been terrific this summer. And I'll give you a quote that I hear from him all the time. Every time something happens, he says, hey, look. He says, everybody's got to pick it up. We've got dudes. Right? Well, that's his quote. They have dudes.
Yep. No, they do. They do. And I think that the first thing you mentioned there, Ace is, I don't want to call it a transformation, but I think certainly his development and maturation has been a massive piece of the puzzle for them.
No question.
This offseason. Right? He, yep. he And I hate to put it in these terms because right, like these are kids at the end of the day. I'm a 40-year-old guy, Mike Gundy, right?
Yeah.
So criticizing the speed that someone matures at is stupid. I choose not to do that. But it is important for Penn State basketball to have Ace be that guy. And I think from the onset, from, you know, thinking back to my interview with Mike at Coaches versus Cancer, he let it out there and said, hey, Ace, you need more from Ace. He needs, like, from that position, from the best player on your team, from a guy who has that type of competitive streak and that type of productivity, you need him to be something different than what he was last year in terms of team chemistry, leadership, all of those intangibles. And I think very much he has fulfilled that side of things, and it is paying off dividends for them this summer.
Always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you.
Hey, thanks so much. I'll see you tomorrow.
Nate Bauer, this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.